Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Pastor Gerald Brooks. Hey, thank you so much for joining me for the podcast. I realize right now that most of you in leadership are really having to make some key decisions about what your organization will do and won't do. That being said, I'm falling back to what God has truly asked me to do, which is I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor who's also a leader. Now, I'm saying that to you because I realize that there are business people out here who listen to this podcast, but today I want to do a lesson where basically I'm talking to you about leading as a pastor. This is the Sunday morning message I did last week. It is me leading my organization as a pastor. I think whether you're in business or you're in ministry, I think you can find some key takeaways for your team based on this. So for those of you that are in ministry, I think the setup is going to be clear to you, but at the end, I give four distinct takeaways on how you manage crisis moments. How do you handle the uncertainty? And so if you'll listen to the beginning, at the end, I will give you a series of concepts that will help you in managing crisis, and more than that, helping your people to manage crisis. So thank you so much for listening to this. And if any of these podcasts are helpful to you in your decision-making, could you extend them to others? I would appreciate that so much. Thank you. Today, I want to talk to you as a pastor. Don't want to talk to you as a communicator. I don't want to talk to you as a preacher. I want to talk to you as a pastor. I want you to understand that all I've ever done for 42 years is pastor people. I've been with people on their best day. I've been with people on their worst day. I've been with people when they thought heaven was on their side, and I've been with people when they thought heaven had failed them. I've been there when they've lived, and I've been there when they've died. I've been there when they were rejoicing, and I've been there when they've been crying. I can't speak to you today for sure as a politician or an elected official. I can't speak to you today as a physician or a scientist. But I want to speak to you as a pastor. But let me also say, there's no politician, and there's really not a physician or a scientist. As much as I can't speak in their stead, they can't speak in mine. So I just want to talk to you as a pastor of having done this for 42 years. In Malachi, we're told something about Israel, that there was to be a book that was called the Book of Remembrance. It was an interesting book because what it was a book that was written that was there because God wanted them to write down the times that God had been there for them. So that on the days that they struggled, that on those particular days, they would be able to go back and read the book. And they could say, God, you were there. So I want to do a version of that. I have a perspective that pretty well no one else in this church has. I've been the senior pastor for all 38 years. Now what I can tell you is that Jesse on the front row will one day be the pastor of this church, and the future of this church is in great, great hands. But this perspective that I have is 38 years. So I want to take you back to 1982. 1982, our church starts. We start the third week of November. Many of you weren't born,
For you, 1982 is nothing but history. Something you would read about in a book, or maybe your parents would tell you about. But in 1982, I was able to watch our community. See, something was unfolding across this world. Something that was scaring people. Something that was terrifying people. See, if you're like me and you can go back to 1982 and 84, you know that at that time, what was called the AIDS epidemic was happening. Now, you've got to understand something. We didn't know anything about it. We didn't have any perspective on it. We didn't know if you drank after someone, if you could get it. If you were near somebody, you could get it. If someone walked by you, you could get it. The amount of fear that was in the room at that particular time was overwhelming. The fear that you feel in our community right now when you walk out and you talk to people, that fear was there. That fear was there. And literally for the next 18 months after we started our church, people are going to live with that fear because people are sitting there. In fact, God forbid there were Christians saying things in the name of God that are horrible about what that particular plague was. But the fear was everywhere. People didn't know, was this the end of times, the last of times? But in the midst of that, God was there. If I could take you a little bit forward, and that would be 1986 and 87, something's going to happen that's going to devastate our community. Something that most people have never lived through to the magnitude that we did in 86 and 87. Everyone who looks at things right now, they don't feel what we felt in 86 and 87. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be the savings and loans crisis. Pretty well every savings and loan in this area across our nation is going to fold. But at that time, I'm going to pastor a church where 30% of all the people in my church are going to have their home foreclosed on. They're not going to have a home. All because of that financial crisis, it's going to sit there and their homes are going to be threatened. So when people look at me and they said, do you realize that the stock market fell 1,000 points? And I'm thinking, you don't own stock. And they're terrified by that. You want to see what it is like when you have 30% of your people in your church and they're going to be put out on the street. 50% of the people in our church were going to be underwater. That means that they were going to owe way more than their house was worth. The amount of fear that was in our society was overwhelming. So when you go back to 82 and you look at the AIDS epidemic, fear was everywhere. When you go back to 86, fear was everywhere. You go a little bit further and you hit the mid-1990s and a thing's going to hit our country and it's called the bird flu. The bird flu, the avian flu, is just going to go everywhere. But in the midst of it going everywhere, the mortality rate is going to be exponential. People are afraid. Am I going to get it? Am I going to die from it? Someone I know going to get it is someone I know going to die from it. And man, it was just rampant. But then you go a little bit further. And you run into another period of time. And that period of time was 1999. That time, every newscast was filled with it. Every conversation was about it. It was called Y2K. because Y2K was going to be the thing that was going to send our society back to the Stone Age. Every computer system was going to fault when it began to turn to the year 2000. Everything was going to come to an end. All water systems were going to stop. All electrical grids were going to stop. All medical equipment was going to stop. People who are on ventilators were going to stop. It was all going to stop because no one had ever thought that the year 2000 would come, and people were living in fear. We look back now and we say, why did we even get consumed with that? But here's what I want you to know. I don't speak as a politician. I don't speak as a government employee. I don't speak as a doctor or a scientist. But what I can tell you is in 1982, God was here. In 1986, God was here. In 1999, God was here. We're going to get through Y2K. It's not the first time people were storing up on toilet paper. Dear Jesus, how much toilet paper does one family need? I get it. In fact, right now, if I wanted to create church attendance, we'd do a free toilet paper giveaway. Next Sunday, we may have a toilet paper roll for everybody who shows up. Last time I've seen that much toilet paper, I was a teenager and we were wrapping people's homes. But then 2001's going to happen. September 11th's going to happen. When September 11th's going to happen, people are just glued to their TV. All airlines are going to be shut down. All movement's going to stop. Businesses are going to come to a halt. Is life ever going to be the same? Is anything going to be different? But see, I've had the privilege of pastoring this church for 38 years. And in 1982, God was here. 1986, God was here. 1997, God was here. In 1999, God was here. In the year 2001, God was here. And then in 2008, the Great Recession is going to take place. All of a sudden, the credit markets are going to fall apart. No one's going to lend to anyone. Banks aren't going to have money. People aren't sure what to do. Companies can't get loans. Jobs are lost. I can remember in a 3-week period of time, the income of this church is going to be cut by 40%. You talk about a bad day. I was telling my wife that she had to go into children's church and tell them there'd be no more cookies. People said, will it ever be any different? Will things ever change? But we're here today because God was here then. In 2009, H1N1 is going to hit. Started down just near San Antonio. H1N1 is going to kill 3 kids. But when it kills 3 kids, people say, we don't have any protection against this. This is a new virus. We've never seen it before. We've never seen anything like it before. It's never been here before. We don't know what's going to happen. The president at that time is going to declare an emergency. Every city's going to declare an emergency, every county. Please understand the reason the counties and the cities declare emergency, it's the only way they can get federal funding. So they all want to be in line. What's going to happen is they're going to close down the schools in Plano. Kids are rejoicing. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The schools have been shut down. We don't have to go to school anymore. Hey, this is going to be great. They didn't even have computers really back then, so you didn't even have to pretend like you were studying at home. Amen. I remember when that hit. Remember that first Sunday? We went from a church at that time of 4,000 to a church of 700. Nobody came to church. Nobody. You talk about social distancing, there was a lot of distance. Nobody was in church. It was interesting, a year later, they did a study on shutting down the schools. They found out it didn't do any good because what happened was the kids had just gone to the mall together. Here's the deal. 2009, everyone thought it was the end. We thought we were going to lose every young person that there was because all of us that had lived through the swine flu, we had immunity. The kids didn't. They had never been exposed to it. Now it's the reverse. But can I tell you something? God was there. Amen. In 2009. 2014, we're going to have the first death on American soil is going to happen in Dallas from the Ebola. Because of the way it was handled, people thought, well, this could be anywhere in the Dallas area. Pastors are calling me saying, what are you going to do? It could just be anywhere. And they're asking all these questions. People were uncertain. People didn't know. But God was still there in 2014. Amen. And in 2020, we have the coronavirus. And people aren't certain. The only thing that I want to say to you is I don't speak as anything but a pastor. I've been young, but now I'm old. And every year, I've seen God was there. Amen. So, in the middle of life, I don't want you to forget God. See, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of faith, and my job's to help you have faith. But I have a concern right now that there are people who are forgetting their faith. So I have a little bit of concern. So I want to help you with your faith. If I go back to 1982, I go back to 1986, I go back to the mid-1990s, I go back to Y2K, I turn around and I go back and look at 2001, 2008, 2009, and I look at today, I'm always reminded that there's one verse that's always been my go-to. I want to talk to you about that verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. It starts with these words, fear not. Whenever life gets uncertain, fear always shows up. And it says, fear not because I'm with you. That verse is an honest verse. There's always something to be afraid of. I don't know what it will be if Jesus hasn't come back in 2 years, but there will be something to be afraid of. I don't know what it'll be in 5 years, but there will be something to be afraid of. I don't know what it'll be in 10 years, but there will be something to be afraid of. And that verse starts and it says, fear not. Amen. Amen. Because I'm with you. It's not a verse that's disconnected. It's a verse of reality. Down here, there's things that we can be afraid of. But when fear comes, remember, God's with you. Remember, you're not alone. You don't have to figure it out alone. You don't have to walk alone. You're not alone. He's with you. That there's nothing going on in life where he's going to leave you and say, hey, this is too big, this is too much, I can't handle it, you're on your own, figure it out on your own, do it on your own. He says, fear not, because I am with you. And the one thing we need to understand, the closer we are to God, the less fear bothers us. The farther we are from God, the more fear bothers us. He says, I'm with you. Right now, God's with you. It's not a promise just to me, it's to you. He said, I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the end of this world. Someone says, well, why the end of this world? Because when this world ends for you, you're with him. Until then, he's with you. Fear not. The closer you are to him, the less fear bothers you. Oh, does that mean we're not pragmatic? Sure, we're pragmatic. But being pragmatic doesn't mean that we lose sight of God either. Amen. So in the midst of life, we understand that God said, fear not, because I'm with you. Then it goes on and it says, do not be dismayed, because I'm your God. It says, don't be discouraged. There's always something to get us down. There's always something to discourage us. There's always something to overwhelm. Here's my great concern. There are levels of depression in America right now that are unequal to any other generation. You put people in their homes alone, there are going to be more depressed people doing things they shouldn't do, and people need to know that there is a God with them. Says, don't be discouraged. Just don't be discouraged. Because I'm God. God doesn't stop being God. God's not going to stop it today. He's not going to stop it tomorrow. But if he is your God, let him be your God. Just let him be your God. So in Isaiah, it says, don't fear, I'm going to be with you. It says, there's a lot to discourage you, but just remember this. I'm God. You don't have to be God. It's not all on your shoulders. And then he says, and I will strengthen you. People right now are living under a weight of unknown. Well, we're just not sure. We don't have any idea. Everything is just uncertain. God says, I'm going to give you strength. You're going to make it. All that weight you're feeling, I'm going to carry it. See, it'd be one thing if he looked at you and said, Gerald's going to strengthen you. I mean, look at this body. How much do I have to offer? But he said, God will strengthen you. God will do it. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you strength. And he says, I'm going to do that because I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. So fear not, because he's going to be with you. Don't be discouraged, because he's still God. Not only that, but understand he's going to give you strength to handle what you're faced with, because he's going to be there to help you. In the midst of all of that, the part of the verse that I love the most, it says, I will uphold you. I will uphold you. If there's anything I would want people to rest their faith in, it's this. That if you believe in him, he's going to hold on to you. That if your faith's in him, he's going to hold on to you. He's going to hold you. Here's the way I like to put it. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds me. I don't know what life's going to be like a week from now, but I know who holds me. Because God has his hand on you. It doesn't matter what the future looks like. God's not letting go of you. He's got a pretty good grip, and he's not going to let go of you. There's nothing in this world that will take you out of God's hands. He says, that which is put in my hands, no one can take out. And because you've placed your life in his hands, it's not going anywhere. God has hold on you. I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, that my life is in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that every day I live knowing that I'm in your hand. I may not be sure what tomorrow looks like, but I am confident that I'm in your hand. And because I'm in your hand, it doesn't matter what the future holds, you hold me. And the future will be all right. Because your hand's on me. Thank you for holding me. In Jesus' name. What I want to say to you is, since 1982, I've watched crisis come and crisis go. All of them are legit. All of them are real. The people who talk about them, they're sincere. The things that they describe, based on the information they have at the time, it's correct. But here's the one thing we ask you to never do. Never calculate a conclusion without God being a part of the equation. Don't calculate some conclusion without God being a part of the equation. Now, here's what I can tell you. When the world's the darkest, the church needs to be the brightest. Amen. When the world's the darkest, the church needs to be the brightest. Now, again, I don't speak as a politician. I don't speak as a scientist or a physician. I speak as a man of faith whose job is to give you faith. And when the world's the darkest, that's when the church needs to be the brightest. I was so proud of Jesse this week because we got a call from the fire chief of Plano. They had an individual that had run into fires over the years, and when you run into fires, sometimes you breathe in things that people shouldn't breathe, and it causes cancer, and they had someone die that would be a direct result of running into buildings to help people. There were organizations, great organizations that I admire around here, that when they were asked to do the funeral, they said, we can't do the funeral because we've got to limit the size. And they called Jesse, and Jesse said, you can do it here. Because he didn't feel it was right that some fireman would not have all his friends and family to celebrate him and his life. So on Tuesday, we're going to do that here, and this thing's going to be packed with fire people. We'll have overflowing. But here's the deal. Jesse knew we couldn't stop being a church. Amen. See, one of the things that's sad is that for some people, and there's about three schools in the Plano area, that when they shut down, those kids get no breakfast or no lunch because the only food they get is what they get at school. So every time they extend it, there's kids not eating. So the North Texas Food Bank had volunteers, because of everything that's going on, just cancel. They didn't have enough volunteers to bring food together, to help people that are hungry. So Jesse put together teams yesterday from our church that went down to fill in where all the volunteers had canceled. See, if you want a calamity in this country, you tell churches to quit being the church. And you're going to find out that they've got a problem that's worse than anything else. But I'm not a politician, to which I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm a pastor. My job's to pastor people. What I want to say is, we don't stop being a church at any point. Is there risk? Yeah. Every day I wake up, I have risk. But in life, what I know is, I lived through 1982, God was there. Lived through 1986, God was there. I lived through 1996, God was there. I lived through 1999, and God was there. I lived through Y2K, and God was there. I lived through September 11th, and God was there. I've lived through 2008, and God was there. I lived through 2009, and God was there. And you know what I think? I think God will still be here in 2020. So my expression to you would be this: fear not, because he's with you. Don't be discouraged, because he's God. He's going to strengthen, because he's going to help you. And he upholds you. And the future may not be sure, but you're confident, because you're in his hand. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to the lesson. I hope that helped you and maybe give you a context for how I'm leading my particular organization. I want to tell you that for the next few weeks, I'm wanting to resource ministers in particular. So I may be giving more of these that are really literal takeaways from things that I'm doing. For some of you, if you haven't seen the 12-minute message I did that has gone basically viral everywhere, I think you can go online and you can go to our webpage, Grace Church, and you can see that 12-minute message. I think that that message is having an impact not only on what we're doing, why we're doing it, but how we're doing it. I think it could help people. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.